Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight. Lamentations chapter 3 is where we will be. Lamentations chapter 3. And boy, we've heard some really good things tonight. We've heard about the importance of absorbing truth. And Michaela reminded us of that through her testimony. And not being a rock, but being a candle. I thought that was a great testimony. And then tonight, Selena, through her special on the piano. And boy, just a wonderful opportunity we've had to just sit and be blessed. And I hope that you have been already through the service. Lamentations chapter 3, I want us to notice just a few verses as we get started tonight. And I encourage you to listen up, sit up, and maybe take some notes. I believe this will be a blessing to you, the truth that we're going to look at. And I believe it is applicable to every single person in this room tonight. And I promise you this, if you listen and open your heart, you'll receive a blessing. Lamentations chapter 3, and I want us to start reading here in verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Sounds like a difficult place to be. Verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I want to notice a thought tonight, and if you're writing down and you're into putting a title on the notes that you take, simply title this message, What Now? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at these, Lord, very thought-provoking verses. Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, would perk up our ears as to what you would say. Lord, we thank you so much for the service that we've had thus far, and Lord, I hope that we would, each one of us, be able to say that it has blessed our hearts. But Lord, as we turn to really the most important time of this service, Lord, I pray, God, that you would give me the right economy of words to put together, Lord, so that I could convey the burden of my heart. Lord, I have so many thoughts and so many things I want to say, and yet, Lord, we're confined by the clock in many ways. I pray, God, that you would take control, and Lord, that ultimately, that Lord, we would be changed more into your image. Lord, we love you and ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. You know, I can remember some humorous moments in my life when I have thought to myself, or the thought has come to mind of, what am I going to do now? I remember when I was growing up, and I'd like to say that this was not into high school yet, but if it wasn't, it was getting very close to it. And you have to understand, I have a sister that's 18 months older than I, and she is as girl can get in terms of she just loved frilly things, she loved dolls, she didn't like sports. And you know, maybe you're sitting here, ladies, and you're like, oh, that is totally not me, you know, or maybe that, yep, that sounds just like me, okay? Regardless, my sister wouldn't do anything that I like to do. You know, hey, you know, can we go outside and, you know, I don't know, play tag, you know? No. Okay. All right. Hey, could we go outside? And she would sometimes make these deals with me. Hey, well, if you play Barbies with me. And, you know, and then that never worked out. And if you're a younger sibling, you know what I'm talking about. These promises are made, and then right as you get yourself in that humiliating situation, your older sibling looks at you and says, psych, you know, and you're like, okay, great. So anyway, in this particular instance, I was messing around or something, and I chased her into her room, and you know, one of the worst days of my life is when my parents put a lock on her door. And then I couldn't bother her anymore. I mean, she could lock the door and it was over, you know. So anyway, I chased her to her room doing something. I don't even remember all what it was. And I was trying to practice my kung fu moves on her and everything. And she didn't want any part of it. And so I was bugging her and I was standing at the door doing this and that. And, you know, yelling at her, open the door, come on, you know, I want to fight. You know, I don't even know. But anyway, what I didn't realize is as I was kind of like throwing punches and stuff, she decided to open the door. And you guessed it. I mean, I popped her right in the face. I mean, it just, at that moment, I mean, there was no way I was going to be able to create some type of narrative that I didn't really punch her in the face. I knew that I wasn't going to be able to run from that. I thought, what now? You know, here I am. And of course, she ran off to mom, and, you know, and then it just plummeted from there on out. Okay. I remember I was outside once my parents' house, and my heart was in the right place, but I was swinging this bat, and it wasn't an aluminum metal bat or anything like that. It was sort of like this Nerf bat. It's sort of foamy. I don't know if they still make these things, but anyway, I was swinging that around and just having a good time. I don't know, by myself, whatever. And there was this wasp that landed on my dad's vehicle. And I tell you, my heart was in the right place. I thought, you know what? Like that wasp just needs to be taken care of, you know? So I'm just gonna get rid of this wasp. And so I walked up to the wasp and I was like, all right, okay, now I'm gonna think this through. Okay, I've got a bat, but it's foam. Okay? I'm not gonna do any damage, and I am so precise with how I swing this bat that I mean, what could possibly go wrong? And so I went back, and the wasp happened to land on a headlight. And so the headlight was kind of sticking out there, and I was like, I'm gonna graze the headlight from an angle. And so I don't, you know, pop the headlight like this. I'm just gonna kind of hit the wasp off the headlight. Okay? I mean, precise, okay? So I walked up there. I took a couple practice swings, and then, I mean, I didn't have a lot of time. It was going to fly away. So I swung that bat, and I'll tell you, I cleaned out that wasp. It went into like 50 pieces. However, took out the headlight. At that moment in my life, I still remember standing there, bat in hand, pieces all over the ground, thinking to myself, what now? Oh, my goodness. How many of you have had similar experiences where you're like, I can't fix this. There's no fixing this. What now? You know, we could go around the room tonight, but you know what? You know, on a more serious note, I can think of some situations that have happened in the lives of people I have known that have been great situations where, real-life situations where I cannot imagine, you know, what must be going through their mind. This past summer, there was a college student by the name of Ryan Birchwell. I knew Ryan's dad. He went to the same college that I did. He was, at the time, he was an older student and had a few younger kids. And anyway, Ryan had a brother and had some hunting buddies, and they decided one afternoon in the summer, they decided to go out in the woods and do a little bit of hunting. They went out in the woods, and they split up into two parties, and they weren't wearing the proper attire. They really weren't going about things the way that you should when you go hunting and taking certain precautions and that sort of thing. And in a horrific moment, Ryan's brother, mistaking him for an animal, actually shot and killed him. Now, I got to tell you, I cannot imagine being in a situation like that. Here's a situation, a real-life situation. Here's what I want us to understand. You know, this type of catastrophe, it may have not happened to you, but I'm sure that we could go around the room tonight and we could talk about some instances that just seemed absolutely hopeless, in which people found themselves in situations where they were very seriously asking this question, what now? The verses that we started off reading tonight were written by the man by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if you know anything about him, he's known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was given a ministry by the Lord that was not necessarily considered glorious by any stretch. The Lord called him from a very young age, and he had a chance to minister to some people that were very close to him. However, throughout the course of his life, 50 years of prophesying for the Lord, there's one thing. people didn't listen to him. In fact, he went before numerous kings. The citizens of the place that he was occupying there, they tried to kill him. His own family disapproved of what he was doing and what the Lord had called him to do. At one point, the king got furious at him and told him to be cast into this pit that was just filled with all sorts of mire and mud, in which the Bible says Jeremiah sunk down into, and he would have died had it not been for one of the princes knew someone, and that individual came and intervened and got Jeremiah out of there. But you're talking about a man who had known great heartache. Like I said, he had shed many tears for his people and their rebellion towards the Lord. Can you imagine being called to something like that? Can you imagine at every moment the Lord gave you to share his message to them, knowing that the people to whom you were speaking were just going to reject you one more time? I cannot imagine being in that position. And the book of Lamentations is a book where the Lord has given us the innermost thoughts of Jeremiah at that low point in his life. I want us to notice again some of these words. Listen to the state of Jeremiah as he's towards the end of his life here and he's experienced a lot of hardship. Notice his words, and maybe you've had a situation in your life where you have felt some of the same feelings as he did. Look back to chapter 3, notice what he says. He says, "Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace." He's talking to the Lord here. "I forgot prosperity. I said my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." You say, "Boy, Brother Scott, this is a prophet. This is Jeremiah. He wrote a massive book that you read and you just, wow, it's amazing." But understand this, Jeremiah was human. Jeremiah, like you and I, experienced hardships. Jeremiah reached a level that many of us, if we're fortunate enough, we will not have to go through the things that he did. But I do believe that Jeremiah, there's a lesson here that the Lord taught him that you and I can take and help us answer the question of, what now? Notice with me, number one, I want you to see a hopeless condition. I want you to see a hopeless condition if you're taking notes tonight. And this is what I want us to understand, that sometimes we zoom in on our problems. We zoom in on the things that are an issue right now. But I want you to just back up just for a second. And I want to talk about the fact that there is a hopeless condition for much of the world that we live in. You know, the reason we went on visitation tonight and passed out flyers is because many of us have an understanding that this world is in a hopeless state without the Lord. Obviously, that was brought in by the actions of Adam and Eve in the garden when that perfect and established relationship that God had with man was broken. The Lord provided a sacrifice for that and a means for that relationship to be restored. And that's a wonderful thing. Maybe there's someone here tonight that maybe you've never thought about the fact that you will spend an eternity somewhere someday. I remember when I was growing up, when I was, young, it seemed like the biggest things that mattered were just the friends that I played with and whether or not we were on good terms. I mean, those were sometimes the biggest things that I worried about. You know, I look at my kids and the things that are a big deal to them right now. They're developing and physically and emotionally. And sometimes, one of my boys will come to me and they'll start crying about something that I'm like, "You're crying about that? But what's happening there?" Well, that's a big deal to them. They're growing. They're developing. And, sometimes when we're younger, we don't always consider the bigger picture. But let me tell you this, that there is a serious condition that mankind is in without the Lord. And that's a hopeless condition. But the Bible is clear in that the Lord has provided a means by which that hopeless condition can be rectified. In fact, whereas the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, "As by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men," that's the hopeless condition for all of sin. Romans 5 and verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners," there's that hopeless condition. But the Bible speaks to the fact that the Lord has provided us hope through the means of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's zoom in here, and I encourage you tonight, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, there's never come a point in your life where you said, Lord, I need you. I'm in a position where my sin is a burden that's too heavy to bear, and I don't have the answer. Well, the Lord has the answer through Jesus Christ tonight. But I want to zoom in here on Jeremiah's hopelessness. Notice some of the words that he is using here. Look at verse 17. Notice what he says. He says this, thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. Have you ever been there? Maybe somebody asks you, hey, you know, I can tell something's wrong. What's wrong? You ever been in a place where you didn't know quite how to answer somebody when they ask you that? I mean, you say, I've been there. Sometimes we just have a noisy soul. We got things going on inside of us, and we can't even pinpoint it sometimes. We just know that, I'm just removed from peace. And Jeremiah was at that place, a prophet of God. And he's at this place, and you know what? If we could visualize Jeremiah tonight, where is the prophet Jeremiah? Well, I believe the Lord is giving him these words to pin down, and if we can visualize him in a room, and we can sort of peek through the keyhole just a little bit, you would see an older gentleman knelt over a desk with his writing utensil in hand and maybe even zoom in on his face and see that he's struggling. See that he's trying to piece together the fact that he serves an omniscient and all-knowing God who has given him a ministry that is very difficult. He's pouring his heart out to the Lord, and the Lord's using it as a means to show us the heart and struggle of Jeremiah. Can you see him tonight? Sort of in that hopeless condition, struggling in a sense of, I'm just kind of removed from peace. What else does he say here? He says, I forgot prosperity. We're so quick so many times to forget the things the Lord has done for us. Oh, we are. Oh, boy, the cloud of heaviness sort of clouds our judgment. And we get in the middle of that problem, whatever it is, and it becomes so big and so heavy on our hearts that we literally separate ourselves from the prosperity that we have experienced. I always love missions trips. One of the reasons I love missions trips and some of the teens that are in this room tonight, those of you who have gone to different mission fields that we've gone to in the past, even in a place like Europe, even visiting places like this, you realize very quickly how fortunate and blessed we are to live in America. But you know what? That's part of the prosperity that the Lord has blessed us with. Now, what else does Jeremiah say here? He says, I forgot prosperity. He says, verse 18, look at this. He says, I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. You know what's fascinating about that? That is he says, my strength is perished. You know what? This heaviness in the heart of Jeremiah went so deep that it was affecting his physical condition. He says, I'm literally brought weak over this heaviness that I feel in my heart. You know what you're going to find out? And if some of you have not up to this point, you're going to find out that there are some burdens that you get so gripped with that it literally saps the strength from your body. And you know, I think there'd be some people tonight that say, you know what, Brother Scott, I think I've felt a little bit of that at times. Well, you know what? Jeremiah is right there with you. And he's a prophet of the Lord. What else does he say? He's describing what he's feeling here. He says, my strength and my hope is, he says, it's perished from the Lord. Verse 19, remembering mine affliction, my misery, the wormwood and the gall. We see Jeremiah's hopelessness here. It's very descriptive. And why was he hopeless here? Why was he feeling this? What was the burden that he had been given? Been given a message. This was part of his calling. He was burdened for the people that he loved so much, and he wanted them to love God and was sort of frustrated at the issues there. His people continued to operate in a reality that was separated from God and was concentrated on idolatry and false worship. We see a burden here, but I notice a battle taking place. Like I said, Jeremiah was human just like we are. You and I, Brother Scott, Brother Jeremy, Brother Chase, Brother Matt back there, every day we wake up in the morning and we're in a battle just like you are. We're in a battle for the flesh and the spirit. You know what? Paul talked about that in Galatians. You don't have to turn there. Galatians 5, verse 16, he says this. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you cannot do the things that you would. Paul says, you know what? I've got the flesh. That's a part of the old man, but I've got the Spirit of God inside of me that, it helps me do right. And But there's this battle that takes place. And man, the heart is so willing. And when I wake up, I want to do the right thing. But man, sometimes my flesh just seems so strong and it's pulling me in the opposite direction. Hey, if you've sensed that battle, guess what? You're normal. Because that's exactly where Jeremiah was. He was facing the fact that he was human. And you know what? This is what comforts my heart. Do you realize that if you're a child of God, there is coming a day in which you are not going to struggle with wrongdoing? You're not going to struggle. This is going to come a day when we live forever with the Lord, then I'm not going to be tempted. You're going to live a whole day in perfect fellowship with the Lord. Boy, sometimes I have a thought that crosses my mind. I say, where in the world did that thought come from? I got to separate myself from that thing. You know, sometimes I'll be talking to someone and I'll take the conversation in a negative direction, and I step away from that conversation. I say, what was I doing? You ever get frustrated with yourself that way? Man, I'll tell you, I do too. It's normal. It's part of the growth process in the Christian life. And hopefully as we keep our eyes on the Lord, we become more and more mature in Him and we grow. But there's coming a day where that burden will be removed. There's a battle. It's going on in his heart. But I want you to notice a vital choice that he makes. And this is where we start to turn the corner. Notice verse 21. Hey, are you with me tonight? You guys with me? Yeah, I want this to help you, okay? I think it's important. Look at verse 21 because this makes all the difference in the world. Notice through the keyhole what begins to happen to Jeremiah. Now understand, Holy Spirit of God is giving him this, and it's almost like the Lord said here, I want you to see the change that begins to take place in the heart of the prophet. Look at what it says, verse 21. It's almost like Jeremiah has a thought here. He says this, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Well, he's been over here, he's been sort of wallowing in the, my feelings, and this is how I feel, and I just, I've been, And then all of a sudden, he comes to this point where he says, "Then I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." And this is what I want us to understand. There's a hopeless condition, but I want you to see, number two, a vital choice. A vital choice. And you know what the choice is? To remember. You know, there's been some points in my life where I have been reluctant to remember. I could say it this way. I wanted to forget. You ever been in a situation where you're like, I can't wait till I'm like 30 years removed from this and I have forgotten it and everyone else has too? Anybody ever been there before? You know, you have some great things to look forward to. Let me just tell you, if your parents are anything like my parents, whenever you have identified that special person, that person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, understand this, that your parents are going to be very anxious to tell your significant other all of the embarrassing things that happened to you as a child. I remember the first time Christina met my folks and she came and visited, and it was only a couple of days in and all of a sudden we were talking about, Scott as a baby and Scott as a toddler, embarrassing things that I would hope would never be mentioned ever. And, of course she's smiling and I'm thinking, just shoot me now, just kill me. And, there's some things that I don't want to remember, but there are some important things that you and I have to remember. And Jeremiah shows us that. We see a vital choice that is being made here. He says, I remember. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul tells us to think on these things. He talks about things that are true, honest, that are pure, that are lovely, of good report. These are choices that we have to make in times of difficulty, to choose to remember things that are good and pure and right. And so, very practically here, what do we need to remember? Well, number one, I think we ought to remember what God's done for us. You know, at your very base tonight, if you're here and you know the Lord, what better place to remember than that time that the Lord saved you? Just let that sit in tonight. You had a debt that you could not pay. You and I were staring hell straight in the face. And yet the Lord in his goodness, knowing that we had nothing that we could give him, reached down and gave us grace that we could never deserve. And I got to tell you, no matter what physical condition I have, no matter what's going on in my life, I can stop it at any moment and recognize the significance of the fact that the Lord has saved me and given me something that is miraculous. Your salvation. Hey, when you get in that moment where you just say, boy, what do I do now? It may not be tonight. It may not even be next week. But I guarantee you, if you've not had that moment where you cannot find the clarity and you find yourself thinking, what now? Start remembering. Make the vital choice to look to the Lord and remember what he's done for you. Remember salvation, just very quickly, and we have to move quickly. Remember what he's promised to do. Let me give you these very quickly. You don't have to write them down. I'm going to go too quickly to do that. But he's given us everlasting life, John 3 and verse 16. He's given us a home in heaven. He's promised us that, John 14, 2. He's given us and provided us forgiveness, Ephesians 4 and verse 32. He's promised to be our deliverer, Romans 8 and verse 2. He's promised us rest, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He's promised to supply all our needs, Philippians 4 and verse 19. What a promise. He's promised to be our companion, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. He's promised always to be with us, Matthew 28 and verse 20. He's promised to give us strength, Psalm 27, 1. He's promised to teach and to guide us, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And can I tell you this? The list goes on and on and on. Listen, you're going to find times in your life where you just need to stop. You need to stop the worry. You need to stop trying to figure it out. And you need to go to the Lord and make a vital choice to just remember. Lord, help me to remember you. Help me remember the promises that you've got. And can I tell you this? I can't remember who said it. It may have been William Carey, but he said this: the future is as bright as the promises of God. Boy, that shows focus. I don't care what your future looks like or the way that you perceive it. Your future is paved with promises that come straight from God. A vital choice. Let me give you the final thing. We're done. Our time is hastening away. Before we get there, let me just say this. Number one, remember what God's done. Remember what he's promised to do. And then I would just say this as a side note. Make it easy to remember. Make it easy to remember. One of the biggest questions that I always have, and that I find myself contemplating from time to time when I hear of situations that take place in the lives of other people, especially when it's people that don't know the Lord, is this question, and maybe you've thought it too: how do people do it without God? Have you ever thought that? I mean, how do you deal with it without knowing that there's a God in heaven that loves you? That's huge. But you know what? You and I have been given a greater responsibility because we know the Lord. Let's just stop and think of the hours that we have been exposed through maybe Sunday school, Wednesday night church, Sunday evening, special activities. Think about the hours that we've spent absorbing God's Word. You know, an easy way for us to remember God is when in those situations, we look to him. You know, the reason people struggle that don't know the Lord is because they don't know the Lord. But I'm afraid that there's sometimes some Christians who are saved, but it comes right down to it, they don't know the Lord. You know, it would be a horrible, and connecting with Michaela's point, it would be a horrible thing for an individual to have gone to a church, gone to a Christian school, right up until age 18 or what have you, having been exposed to the Word of God day after day, and yet at 18 years old, not have much of a relationship with God. You know, the sad thing as a youth pastor is I see that happen. You know, we could stand up and Brother Jeremy and I could go on and on about how he's seen and I've seen teenagers just not interested. They've taken the opportunities that even we have here tonight and they've just thrown them away because it's boring or it's I don't see the point. Listen, can I tell you that this time is for our good? And can I tell you that in the future when you get in those what now situations, you're going to want to be able to look back and draw from our time around God's Word, from your time around God's Word. Hey, make it easy on yourself. I should make it easy on myself and make it easy to remember. You do that through being in your Bible. You do that through going to church. You do that drawing close to the Lord. And these are just practical things. Let me give you the third thing and we're done tonight. Number one, we see a hopeless condition. Jeremiah is he's bogged down inside and he's struggling, and yet we see him begin to turn a corner here. We see a vital choice. He's making the choice now. You can kind of see as you look through the keyhole there, you can kind of see Jeremiah's, maybe his facial expression is beginning to change. Whereas once maybe there was tension there, he's beginning to relax as he's making a connection. The Lord is working on him, and he's coming to this point where he says, hey, I've got to make a vital choice at this moment. Instead of just saying, Lord, why did you do this to me? Lord, why can't you just make this situation better? Lord, why can't you just take this away from me? He's not doing that. He stops. He says, wait a second. I need to just stop and make a vital decision here. And I need to focus on God no matter what my circumstances look like at the present time. Notice, third of all, and we see it in the next couple of verses here, we see a confident conclusion. A confident conclusion. Look back with verse 22 with me. Verse 21, we'll get there. He says this, I recall this to my mind, therefore I have hope. What is it, Jeremiah? What is it? Why do you have hope now? And he says this. Verse 22, this would be a good one for you to memorize if you haven't already. He says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why? Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Have you seen the progression with the prophet? Have you seen him? Boy, he's just bogged down. He's concerned. He's struggling. Yet the Lord so graciously shows this transition right here. Makes this vital choice, and it's almost like the Lord begins to sweep him in this direction of a place of confidence. Boy, that's something that only God can do. You ever seen somebody, a Christian, who was just seemed like they were at a place of just horror, and yet the Lord was doing something in their lives that was just unexplainable? You know, how is it that a person can have so much joy through this difficulty? How is it a person can just act like everything's going to be okay? How is it that I'm more concerned than they are about this? Well, I think it's because the Lord wants all of us to move to this place of being a confident conclusion, be able to state, as Jeremiah did, great is thy faithfulness. What does he say here? He draws attention to the fact that we do deserve death. The Lord's given us deliverance from that. He draws attention to the fact that God's mercies, His goodnesses, are new every morning. You know, there are two ways to look at life. A negative person doesn't see the goodnesses of God. He wakes up in the morning and he's sort of got that negative veil over everything he sees. You know, he sees something that maybe we would look at and we would say, well, you know, hey, that could be a positive. He sees negative. You know, that's what can happen so oftentimes. But Jeremiah says he's looking the other way. He says, hey, I'm looking to God's mercies, His goodnesses. I'm looking at the wonderful realities. God's mercies never get old. He says that. They're new every morning. He says, great is thy faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24 says this, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. The Lord wants to help us in every situation. I give you this illustration and we're done tonight. In the late 1800s, there was a man by the name of Thomas Chisholm. When I think about individuals and heroes of the past, this is This is maybe one of the unsung heroes of the past that I look at. Thomas Chisholm got saved later in life at the age of 27, but it was one of these instances where when he got saved, man, he just knew it and he never looked back. You know, we would look at Thomas Chisholm's life and we would look at maybe his accomplishments on paper and we would say, well, there's really not much there. Much of that was due to the fact that he had very poor health. He got married, he had a couple of kids, and he was so sick that he could hardly work, but he had to force himself at times to go to work. It was a poor family situation. He could barely provide for his kids. All of this weighed on his heart, and he always just prayed that the Lord would give him the strength to provide for his family and just do some of the common things that you and I look at and say, well, that would just be normal for anybody to do. He wasn't able to do that. As time went on, he began to sort of struggle inside of his heart about these things and wanting to be able to do more for the Lord and the worries of being sick and his physical condition and being able to provide for his family and on and on. And it was one afternoon as he laid in his bed and he was spending time with the Lord. The Lord led him to this passage in Lamentations chapter 3. And with all of the inspiration of a songwriter in his day, he penned the words to "Great is Thy Faithfulness." It's one of my favorite hymns. I don't know how many of you enjoy it, but you listen to the words of that song and you can tell it was written by a man who was struggling. And yet the Lord brought him to a place of confidence. We started the message tonight with a title, "What Now?" Well, I want to give you the answer to that title, and is this: what now? Great God. Listen, it's that simple. Like, I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe some of you just say, you know what, Brother Scott, this was timely. I've got stuff going on. Maybe you say, Brother Scott, you know, I've never really had too many of those what now situations. I challenge you, pocket this thought, because I promise you, you will need it. No matter what situation you're going to, we can always stop, look to the goodnesses of God, and watch as the Lord moves us to a place of confidence in Him. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. And as always, the altar down here will be open. Maybe you don't typically come to the altar. Maybe you pray in your seat. However the Lord leads you. Personally, I feel as though when the Lord works on me, I tend to remember it a little bit more if I make a trip to the altar. Nobody's going to be looking tonight. Nobody's going to be concerned with that. But I do feel like there are some people in this room tonight that needed this message. And there perhaps have been some people that have been going through some difficulty and you've been trying to do it by yourself. Can I tell you from personal experience that that is a frustrating place to be? Because the reality is, you and I cannot handle life on our own. The Lord created us to depend on Him. I ask you, are you at a place where you're depending on Him? If you are, can I just encourage you, hey, keep it up. Keep looking to the Lord. Okay? Make that a lifestyle. I promise the Lord's going to use you to encourage people in the coming days. But listen, if you sit here tonight and you say, Brother Scott, I've been trying to do it on my own. I find myself asking the question of what now often. And man, there are some things that I just need to remember about the Lord. Just a minute, I'm going to pray, and Miss Hannah's going to play the invitational song. And Everybody will remain seated, but if the Lord's worked on your heart, the altar will be open. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this truth, and I thank you for how you have, Lord, stamped it on my heart recently. Lord, I pray that you would use, Lord, this truth to help these teenagers live with their eyes fixed on Jesus. Lord, help us not to be removed from the God that you are. Help us not to focus, Lord, on our feelings and our circumstances. Lord, we ask that you would have your will during this invitation time. In your name we pray. Amen. With